Coming up on this week's Planet Japan, we have some ideas on how to make soccer more exciting, and we'll let you know the very best way to cook insects. Stay tuned for episode 181, The Wrath of Khan.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Direct from beautiful downtown Okayama City, Japan, you are once again, for no apparent reason, listening to Planet Japan. Get ready to join Doug and Jen as they take you on an unpredictable journey through the wacky and wonderful world they call home. And now, here's Doug and Jen.
So, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Happy World Cup excitement.
No kidding.
Yeah, Japan is excited because they won their first game.
I know. And they weren't expected to win.
Against Cameroon.
Cameroon is quite a strong team.
Isn't that a candy bar? It sounds like it should be a candy bar.
No, but there are macaroons.
Macaroons, there you
go.
It's a macaroon.
Macaroon,
yeah.
But no, it's the place, the country, Cameroon.
Now, apparently Japan, the nation, wasn't really all that excited, figuring they didn't really have much of a chance.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we won?
I know.
Okay, let's get excited.
Ooh, yeah, they're really excited, yeah.
Now, soon they have to play the Netherlands.
Yeah, and they're probably going to lose that.
Probably going to lose that.
Yeah,
but as long as they can get their ass out of the group phase and into the knockout phase, they might stand a chance of advancing a little bit.
Yeah,
you never know.
In the world standings, yeah. They're not doing very well in the world standings, so they're trying to make a name for themselves.
It could be the Cinderella year for them.
It could be.
You never know.
Well, a lot of the teams you expect to win are losing for various reasons.
Spain, France.
Yeah, Spain and England versus America. That was a draw, and that was a big blow to England. Yeah, because Americans, we don't care about soccer.
Exactly, yeah. In fact, our American audience has probably tuned us out completely.
I know.
Probably switched over to another podcast.
Yeah.
But, watching the World Cup on TV is great, although I must admit I've had to mute the damn thing because I can't take those stupid horns, those vuvuzelas,
causing
quite a bit of controversy.
Yeah, but I must admit, I mean, all the excitement and stuff surrounding it, I mean, they should bottle that and sell that. I mean, that's awesome. People are just up, you know, just so excited and
indeed
dancing around and craziness, yeah.
But really, they should ban those damn horns. And there has been talk of that, but then it's like, oh no, that's part of our culture. You can't do that.
It's culture.
Yeah. The point being, just because it's part of your culture doesn't mean it's a good thing and it's not annoying as hell for the rest of us. It's like you're listening to a giant bumblebee in the entire game. It's horrible.
I don't know. Maybe they can make little mutes or something on them.
I think it's putting people into a trance.
Well, they have issued some warnings for children, like in the stands. It could be harmful to their hearing
there
and this kind of thing. So.
Now, you know, when I was in high school about 1,000 years ago, we had those same, almost exactly the same horns that we took to football games. And they were loud and colorful.
Yeah.
But, you know, thousands of people didn't blow the damn things for the entire course of the game. You used them in exciting moments when they were called for.
I see.
You don't just blow them for the hell of it for the whole game.
Ah, well, that's what maybe
you get to score a touchdown and then you blow it.
Well, that's what they should do. They should make some rules regarding the horns.
You score a goal, you can blow your damn horn.
Yeah, that's
Otherwise, knock it off.
Yeah, no kidding. Because you remember the disco era with those stupid whistles? You know, somebody was on ecstasy or something, blowing that damn thing like, tweet, 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 tweet. Yeah, you don't want to be that guy, okay? You know, pick the right moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Goals. Goals are a good one.
Yeah.
You could do
and
it
since
goals.
They only score once or twice during the whole game, it would probably be bearable. That's the other thing.
Mm.
If you're gonna play a sport, play a sport where you actually occasionally score. You know, instead... The average score in a soccer game is 0-0, 1-0, or 1-1. You score 4 goals, it's like a blowout. As you know, my solution for more scoring would be to double the width and height of the goals. And then just get rid of the goalkeeper. Because really, the goalkeeper just gets in the way of the ball, which really wants to go into the goal.
Oh, I see.
But then the goalkeeper feels like it's his duty to stop it.
Of course
from going
is.
In, which really...
That's part of the rules of the
but
game.
But it hurts the feelings of the ball. is my point.
Of the ball.
The ball has feelings and wants to go in, and then he's constantly being denied his natural inclination, which is to go into the goal. Yeah, yeah, but really, I mean, you sit down and you invest your 2 hours in front of a soccer game. You want to see more than just a giant pinball machine. You know what I mean? Just boing, boing, boing. You want to see some scoring.
Okay. Yeah. Americans want to see scores.
I don't know about the rest of the world.
Well,
like people who score.
Well, you could just make it like football and just make one goal worth like a million points.
Oh, that
7 points. There you go. Seven! Big seven.
Like an American football.
There you go.
Six or seven points for a touchdown.
That's right. Six points, and then you get the extra one.
You have the extra point?
Yeah.
They should have extra points in soccer.
There you go. They should make points for doing something cool, you know? Yeah.
Or like a 3-point line in basketball.
There you go. Those are much better ideas.
You kick it in from midfield and then you score like 50 points.
Exactly.
That would be a pretty good shot.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay, enough of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Before we do anything else, we should probably introduce ourselves.
We should.
And I thought this week we'd do it differently.
Oh.
I'll introduce you and you can introduce me.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
You are indeed. Jennifer Etta.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, who am I?
And you are Douglas DeLong.
Still.
Yep.
Yeah. And this is episode 181 of the wonderful Planet Japan.
Okay.
Yay.
All right.
Okay. Lots of crazy stuff going on here
in
Japan.
No kidding. Yeah. We've had a little bit of a political issue. The last podcast we did, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about how Mr. Hatoyama was in trouble over the Okinawan issue.
He's gone.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what happened. He's gone now.
Yeah, nobody knows where he is. He's disappeared.
He's got so much money, he's just hanging out.
Foul play is suspected.
No, he's all right. He's just sort of lying low. Yeah.
So the new guy, his name is Khan.
His name is Khan, and he's from around here.
His new campaign slogan is "Yes, we Khan."
Indeed.
Yeah.
No, that's
the wrath of Khan.
Khan.
He's an angry guy.
Well, yeah. No, he's not.
He's a very nice guy.
No, but yeah, he's a local guy from Okayama.
From around here.
From around where I'm currently living.
Yeah.
Yeah, out in the middle of nowhere. So he's a little bit of a different politician. Most politicians in Japan are sort of born into it. You know, it's along generation lines, right? But no, he's from out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Country boy.
Quite bright. Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what he can come up with.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The new guy.
The new guy.
Well, good luck to him.
Yeah, good luck to him.
As he tries to find his way.
I know.
Now, apparently, politics is being perceived here as being a little bit unstable, and that in the last couple of years, we've gone through 57 different prime ministers.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that's true.
Every time you turn around, there's a new guy in charge.
We've had lots of problems.
They should just choose one guy and stick with him.
Yeah. Well, the political party, Hatoyama's political party, they get to choose the next guy because he resigned and they're still in power. So they got to choose the next guy, and the next guy's Khan.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, the opposition party is calling, no, we need a new election. We need a new election because they want to get back in power. Yeah. Yeah. So
tune in next week.
Yeah, I know. Tune in next week. Yeah, but they had a little no confidence motion was filed against Mr. Khan.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah, the opposition party is wanting a new election. Yeah, and they had a meeting about it, and this Liberal Democratic Party, the opposition party, his name is Hideaki Omura. He said about Mr. Khan, he said, Prime Minister Khan, you are the great Satan who brings maximum unhappiness to Japan.
Oh, dear.
I know.
It sounds very Iranian, doesn't it?
I know. The great Satan. It was capitalized. The great
the
Satan.
Great Satan.
You are the great. You bring maximum unhappiness to Japan.
Wow.
He's been in power for, 2 weeks?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You bring maximum unhappiness.
I mean, you could be Satan, but sure, you can't be great in 2 weeks.
I know, really.
Yeah.
You could be maximum
the good Satan, perhaps. But great Satan, that's a little much.
I know. Maximum unhappiness, I don't know. A little bit. 2 weeks, I mean, how much unhappiness can you wreak, really, exactly. In 2 weeks?
Got a lovely email from Corey. As you recall, last time, I somewhat jokingly said people should send me money so I could buy an iPad.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So lots of people, well, one actually.
One.
Corey. Our friend Corey, sent me a donation and said, here, put this towards your iPad.
I know, that was really sweet.
Very nice.
I know.
Thank you very much. Corey, he says he bought a Wi-Fi iPad for his mom.
Oh, I see. That's nice. That's sweet.
Yeah. He says, it's truly remarkable.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if he means it's truly remarkable that he bought an iPad for his mom or that the iPad itself
is
remarkable, but either way.
Either way, yeah. Something remarkable happened. Wonderful.
Now, if I had known that people were going to take that request seriously, I would have been more serious. So this week,
here
I'm
we
very
go.
Serious.
Please
send me money so I can buy an iPad. We've already started. We've got the first guy, so you know you don't have to worry about being the first to do it.
That's right. Everybody's doing it.
So, thank you, Corey. Hey, yo, let's do our religion corner.
Sure.
A tragic story,
really,
in the world of religion.
Yes.
Out of Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah, Jesus died.
Again.
For our sins. Yeah, one more time.
One more time.
Just to make sure it takes, apparently.
Well, it's pretty spectacular, this one, yeah.
Six-story high, a sculpture of Jesus.
Jesus, yeah.
Made out of
fiberglass, yeah.
Over a steel frame.
Right.
Yeah. Burned to the ground after lightning struck it.
I know.
And a spectacular fire ensued.
It's pretty amazing, yeah.
Jesus struck down by an act of God, his own dad.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. People are wondering about the theological implications of this particular
As
event.
You would, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does it really mean? I think it's God saying, I'm serious about that whole graven images thing. Yeah. Shouldn't be doing that. It's right there in the Bible. Don't do it. And this church went ahead and did it.
Mm.
Yeah. People call it touchdown Jesus because he's holding up his arms.
His arms, yeah. His arms over his head like a big like a big Y.
Like a referee.
Like a touchdown.
Yeah. It's also called butter Jesus because he looks like he's made from butter.
Yeah, sort of.
Not anymore, but the butter has melted. And some people call him deodorant Jesus.
He's got his arms over his head. His arms are up. Okay.
Other people have noted that... that with his arms outstretched like that, it looks like he's taunting God. Go ahead. Yeah, give me your best shot.
Yeah, come on.
And God took him up on the offer.
He sure did. Yeah.
But who would figure, really, that a giant sculpture in the middle of nowhere would attract lightning?
Well, steel frame,
With a steel frame, exactly.
Frame. Yeah. Go figure.
Yeah. But it's been up since 2004.
Yeah, okay.
So it had a six-year run. Yeah. And now the church is vowing to rebuild, although apparently it will take longer than 3 days this time.
I see. Yeah.
And it's going to run them in the neighborhood of $500,000.
Wow.
Now, really, why wouldn't you rebuild a giant, tacky statue of Jesus? Certainly, you don't want to give that money to the hungry or the poor. That would just be
a waste of time. Waste of money.
Liberal nonsense. Yeah, you don't really need that.
You don't need that. We need the big statue.
We need the big statue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made from butter. Maybe they should just make it from butter instead of looking like butter. That would be interesting. In the hot sun, it might be.
Ew.
You'd have to do something about
that.
Yeah,
you would. Yeah. It gets kind of smelly. You have moldy Jesus.
But anyway, yeah.
Yep.
Jesus is dead.
Yeah, Jesus is on fire.
Jesus is on fire. Yeah. Instead of people being on fire for Jesus, Jesus was on fire for people.
Okay.
The jokes just write themselves, really.
Oh, gosh.
Man.
All right.
What a bizarre story, though.
Yeah, it's strange.
We'll put the video on planetjapan.org.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because the woman who was videotaping you hear her saying, Jesus is on fire. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah, you just see this big fire. You can't even tell it's Jesus anymore.
But. Something you don't see every day, Jesus on fire.
True enough.
Yeah.
That's true. Awesome.
Now, the Christian perspective that I was reading was that it's a sign from God that if you don't get right with Jesus, you will burn forever. You see how that works?
That works on that level, too.
Sure.
So many levels.
It's a warning from God.
It's like a metaphor for so many things in
life.
It's
like a Rorschach test.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Sad story. Fire. Jesus has been burned to the ground. You know, it's only really a half of Jesus. It's from the waist up, the sculpture. He has no legs.
So, right.
Yeah.
So it looks like he's stuck in the mud and like he's
exactly.
helping.
He's, like he's in quicksand or something.
Yeah, right. So he's asking God to pull him out. Yeah, help me, help me. Yeah.
Exactly. Help me. That's probably it.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude.
Now, we have one more religion corner story this week. And that is maybe something even more bizarre. That's this whole business over in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, they've got some strange ideas.
Religious cleric there, an Islamic cleric, has issued a fatwa.
Okay.
Fatwa.
A fatwa.
And he said he wants women to feed their breast milk to men, grown men.
Yeah, why?
Feed them their breast milk.
Why would you want to do that?
Because apparently in Saudi Arabia, it's against Islamic law to mix with the opposite sex unless you are related to them.
I see. Okay. So.
And if you drink the breast milk of a woman, voila, you are related to them now, apparently.
Okay. So.
And then you don't have to worry about that rule anymore.
I see.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Sure. So, so in order to circumvent a ridiculous law, you have to do something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. Except that, I mean, it's a little bit gross. I mean, how are you going to administer this milk?
Well, there's a debate on that among clerics. One cleric was quoted as saying that a woman should pump her breast and then give it in a glass for the man to drink.
Right, okay.
And another cleric said, oh no, nay, nay.
No, a paper cup? No.
No, not a paper cup.
No.
You should just suckle the breast directly
That's no good.
But it's more fun.
Is it though? I don't know. It's a little bit strange, and a little bit. That's creepy.
A bus driver apparently in Saudi Arabian city said to a woman after this fatwa was issued, he said, "Excuse me, but please, I would like to suckle your breast." Mm. And the woman is suing him now.
As you would. Oh gosh.
Because he was, after all, a bus driver, and the fatwa specifically said bus drivers are exempt. They don't. They can't.
Drivers. You would think.
Any kind of driver does not get to participate in this breastfeeding
frenzy.
Frenzy, yes.
I don't know about that. Yes. But it still doesn't. I mean, what if you're not lactating? So then you're just sort of fucked.
You can't
mix with anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're stuck with whoever.
Now, apparently, some women who would be sisters.
Mm hmm.
If they both have children,
right?
They breastfeed their sister's son.
Right. I see.
So that later in life they can be in the same room with them without worrying about.
Well, that would make family gatherings a lot.
Because then they would be a breast milk relative.
Yeah. That make family gatherings a lot easier. Yeah,
well, sure.
Instead of having like two separate rooms or something.
Exactly.
Don't go in there. Your uncle's in there. I can't be in there with him.
Exactly.
He's not our family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird, man.
It's very strange.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's amazing how different religions just try to outdo other religions in terms of strange stuff.
I know. There's just
ridiculous
so many
notions.
So many other things that we could be worried about.
Yeah.
This.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
The mind boggles.
Well, that's it for this week's Religion Corner.
Okay.
Let's do our food corner.
Ah, right.
Apparently it's becoming trendy in Japan to eat insects.
I know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There are places around like Nagano and stuff that has kind of traditional dishes centered around like bee larvae and stuff like that. They eat insects. And of course, throughout Southeast Asia, they eat lots of insects. Well, I guess recently people are taking those survival programs to heart, and they're really more adventurous with their food choices now.
Uh-huh.
And they're really trying to eat more insects.
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not? So actually, they had in Asagaya Station in Tokyo, they had an event, an insect eating event.
Oh, what fun!
I know. So they tried some new dishes using insects instead of just eating them, you know, raw like a survival program or using candles or something to cook with. But they've made stuff like an avocado salad.
Ooh.
With a dressing containing green tree ants.
Oh, sounds delicious.
Mmm. They made a Doria castle containing hornet larvae.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It has a white sauce to it, so you can't really tell that they're there. They also made a curry with some silkworm pupae.
Ooh, I like curry.
I know, and cicadas. And chili sauce.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
How about cockroaches?
They eat cockroaches in China.
Really?
Yeah, they're supposed to help bedwetting, supposedly. really?
Really?
You know, everything in China is like associated with like medicine, right? Yeah. But yeah, cockroaches are supposed to help with bedwetting.
Really? I didn't know cockroaches had a problem with bedwetting. I thought they just slept through the night.
Exactly.
Who knew?
You would think, yeah. I guess they've observed cockroaches for years and years and years. Yeah.
Wow. I think I'm just going to stick to my traditional diet of junk food.
Yeah, it's much better for you.
Yeah. Insects. Yeah.
Insects.
Okay.
Well, they're saying that silkworms taste kind of a 50-50 mixture of nuts and tofu.
Really?
Yeah.
Tofu's good.
Yeah, I like nuts and tofu.
And tofu, yeah, sure.
You know, together, maybe that's an interesting combination. Maybe you should try some silkworms.
Wow. Okay.
Well,
good luck to our insect-eating friends.
Yeah, if
anybody's... I hope they don't put themselves in the hospital. Or...
No, of course not. They're not going to die or anything.
What's the worst thing that could happen?
Oh, the worst thing that could happen is that, I don't know, they eat too much and they get a stomachache.
Moving right along, we were talking earlier about the iPad.
Yep.
And, you know, some people really can't afford the iPad, and so they try to come up with creative ways to get their hands on one.
Well, sure, you can try bartering.
Bartering, for example.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what a very clever guy named Jacob Walker did in Arizona.
Oh, what did he do?
He thought, let's see, what do I have to trade? And he found this iPod Touch that had never even been used that he had.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. He said, I will trade you my iPod Touch and this bag of really good reefer, marijuana, the iPod Touch and the marijuana for the iPad. Sounds like a fair trade to me. He put a picture of both the iPod and the marijuana on his Craigslist advertisement and put it on the internet.
Where everybody could see it.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't realize that even policemen look at Craigslist occasionally.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody listen. The internet is open to everybody. Everybody.
So the police paid a visit, and the surprising end of the story is that he actually made a deal with the police. The police gave him the iPad. The police took the reefer and the iPod Touch. No, that's not true.
Yeah. Don't try that at home,
guys. That
would
have been the happy ending.
Yeah, don't try that. Don't try that. It didn't work.
They took him away.
Yeah, they arrested him.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course. He put a picture on it. I mean, if you can, it's one thing to say it and just, you know, the police come to your house. Oh, I don't have any marijuana. It was a joke. Ha ha ha. No, he put a picture of it on the internet.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not a smart thing.
Now, as you know, in California in November, they're going to vote on whether to make reefer completely legal.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
In that case, then people should probably feel free to advertise on Craigslist. But until that happens, you're probably better off being a little more discreet in your trades. Okay. But speaking of tech stuff.
Techie.
Should we do a tech corner?
Okay.
Yeah, baby robots.
Okay, so is this like a small robot or is it a
It's a nine-month-old robot. It appears to be a nine-month-old baby.
Okay, so it looks like a baby, but it's a robot.
Japanese researchers at Tokyo University have developed this very expensive little baby.
Yeah.
And they put cameras for eyes and microphones for the ears and sensors so that the baby can feel and touch, just like a real person.
Yeah, maybe.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. Why would they do that?
Oh, just for fun.
No.
No, they say it's for research purposes to learn more about human development is the idea.
Right, even though they're not human.
Well, that's your point of view. Who says they're not human? Now, this is apparently the third humanoid in the series. They also have
a
5-year-old girl humanoid and a newborn baby. Yeah. So now it's like a whole family. They just need some parents.
I know. Now they need some robot parents.
Yeah.
Set him off. Well, I guess it's sort of interesting. I guess you could expose the child to dangerous things or whatever that you couldn't do to a real child and see what happens to it.
Set them on fire?
No, not like that. But I mean, what, scream at it all day or something and see?
Scream at it all. How does that affect you?
Yeah. Listen to rock music versus classical music.
Yeah. Well, that's the idea. Yeah, they're doing research, using the robots for research.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Someday, though, it might just be available for lonely people. People who cannot have their own babies. They just go out and rent or buy a robot baby. And they'll never know the difference. And in other tech news, this is really exciting. 3D TV, of course, has come to Japan.
Yeah.
If you go over to the big camera shop, they've got the demos on the floor.
Yeah, they have them at all the electronic stores. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You can watch these little impressive animated 3D. They even have a golf blasting out of the sand trap.
Yeah.
And you go, oh my God, there's a golf ball coming right at me. And you have to duck.
Yeah, of course they've got the aquarium kind of thing. You're swimming around in the ocean with a lot of fish.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Really? It's good. That's a good one. But I like scuba diving, so it's pretty cool.
But, you know, all that's well and good. But really, people want to watch porn in 3D. And everybody knows that. Which is why some porn companies have come out with some brand new 3D porn.
Oh, there you go.
And Sony is going cool because they figure... the porn eventually is going to drive sales of the 3D sets, just like porn really drove the whole internet phenomenon in the beginning.
Well, that's an interesting theory.
Yeah.
If they weren't so damn expensive, I think I would probably buy one.
How much is
actually
a 3D set?
It's pretty expensive. I don't know. It depends on, like, the size, of course.
Yeah.
But
I think they're probably $5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah. At least.
Something like that.
Yeah. More money than I'm.
But it's not that much more than a regular 2D set of that size.
Of that size, yeah.
Big size.
Yeah, they're pretty big too. Yeah. I don't know where I'd put it, but but they are pretty cool. I would consider buying one.
Indeed.
Yeah, I would someday.
3D porn. It's coming. It's here.
Not for porn.
Get ready.
Yeah. Breasts in my face.
Breasts right in your face.
Yeah. Awesome.
I mean, what better place, really, for a breast?
For a breast. Oh, God.
But speaking of porn, some new statistics were unveiled on the internet to measure the amount of porn that Americans consume.
Was this taken by a survey, or?
This outfit on the internet called Online MBA did a study on internet pornography.
All right.
In the U.S.
Okay.
And they came up with some interesting statistics.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to ask you some questions. Let's see how much you...
That I know about
you
porn?
You know about porn.
In America?
In America.
It's like zero. Okay.
First question.
Okay.
What percentage of websites on the internet are porn? Percentage.
Well, I'd imagine it'd be kind of a lot, but about 10% maybe?
Very close.
Ooh.
Yeah. 12%.
12?
Very good. Yeah. Wow. Which translates to 24.5 million porn sites. Wow.
That's a lot of porn.
That's a lot of porn.
Could you visit all those sites? Now that's the question.
How many million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites?
2 million.
40 million.
Wow. 2 million.
40 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Well. Wow. In the U.S., internet porn pulls in $2.84 billion a year, the entire worldwide industry worth $4.9 billion, which means Americans account for almost half in the world of porn consumption on the internet.
On the internet. Wow.
We're number one.
Yay. Something to be proud of.
Okay. Here's my favorite. This is my favorite.
All right.
Which state in America do you think has the highest level of porn subscription? In other words, they pay money to subscribe to a porn site. Which state do you think has the highest rate? What's the horniest state?
I would say some southern state, but I don't think they really need it. I would
Utah.
Say California. Utah.
Utah.
Utah did it.
It's those Mormons.
Those Mormons.
They got themselves locked up in their little rooms. And, you know, the more you forbid something, of course, the more you're going to want to check it out.
Exactly.
I think is maybe the phenomenon here.
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And if you're taught your whole life that porn is evil and from Satan, you're probably going to want to verify that for yourself at some point. Yeah. Utah, number one.
Okay.
Has the nation's highest online porn subscription rate per 1,000 home broadband users.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shocking. Just shocking. Jesus is on fire.
Jesus must have seen these stats.
Maybe that's what it was, man.
And he said, I'm out of here. That's it for me. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. Internet porn. Huh. 35% of all internet downloads are porn.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Wow.
That makes sense to me, though.
Well, there you go. That's this week's Porn Corner.
Oh, gosh.
Good luck to all our porn consumers as they find their way through the maze that is internet pornography. Hey, let's do Dick of the Week.
Okay.
Speaking of porn. This is sent to us from our friend Diane. And this is this ridiculous story out of Arizona, which has had a number of ridiculous stories lately. Well, this is the school that painted a mural on the school of some of the students in the school. Beautiful mural. And an artist came in and painted it and took some of the faces of the students and put them on. And it was a very diverse group, children of all races.
Yes, that's right, because evidently the school is really diverse. They took the pictures of the students, some actual students that were at the school to put on this mural. Yeah.
But then some idiot right-wing white supremacist type came along, a radio show host, and said, hey, really, I want you to go back and make those black children and brown children into white children. That's, you know, that's repulsive enough. But the worst part is the principal said, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. We'll do that. We can do that.
Yeah.
We can work that out. And the artist came in and painted the faces white.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's just sad.
What?
It's sad. Not only is it just, you know, racism is usually the sort of, you know, abstract idea or whatever, but these are actually actual students at the school.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible. That's just wrong.
Now, the principal, after much pressure from, you know, people who still had a brain, went back and said, oh, okay, that was a mistake.
No kidding.
The artist should come back and make it the original painting like it was.
Right, right.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm really sorry. I don't know what I was thinking, is what the principal said. But well, still, come on.
Well, as you would, yeah. Seriously, yeah.
So that principal, even though in the end he did the right thing, he's still our Dick of the Week.
Yeah, nice job.
Yeah. Not to mention the guy that originally said that they should be painted over. He's also, we have co-dicks this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for this time.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get on out of here.
We are.
Yeah. Don't forget, you can check our lovely and fun show notes at planetjapan.org and send messages to us at planetjapan07@gmail.com. Mm. And yeah, we're still taking donations for iPad or anything else. Unfortunately, I'm having trouble with the link on the website. But if you want to send money, it's real easy. Just go to paypal.com. Mm. Send your money to planetjapan07@gmail.com, our email address. And it will arrive here directly and safely.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you very much in advance.
In advance. Thank you.
And we'll close the show this time with a very cool song called Addicted. It's from Strangers in Wonderland, a singing duo from Stockholm, Sweden, and it's courtesy of musicalley.com. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We will be here next time. Take care.
Bye-bye. Just give me any drug.
to you.